Hi, how are you? And welcome to the Travel Now podcast. If you're looking for inspiration for your next adventure, for money saving ways to book, or ideas to get the most out of your time away, then this is the podcast for you. Hello, how are you doing? I'm Luke Richardson. I'm an author of thriller novels, and I have to confess, a total travel addict. In this podcast, I'll bring you stories from my travels, interviews with people who've been to the places I want to go, and live episodes from the road. Hello, welcome. It's so good that you're here. It's so lovely to be able to have this conversation with you. So, the observant among you may have noticed that the last three episodes have been weekly instead of my usual every other week. Sorry to confuse you, it's not that time has been moving more quickly than expected, although maybe it has as well, I don't really know, but I've just been inundated with great conversations, so instead of holding them back, I've decided to increase the pace for a couple of weeks, just so that we're not holding on. I don't like keeping these back. When I've had a great conversation, I want to share it with you. So I'll do this for a couple of weeks. I'm not sure how long it'll last for, but for now, it's all good. Before we jump into today's brilliant conversation, then, I would love to share a review with you. Now, reviews are really important for podcasts because they show other people, prospective listeners, that I'm putting effort in and making a good podcast that's valuable and that is worth trying out if they've never heard of it before. The podcast websites like Apple Podcasts and Spotify, etc., use them to decide which podcast they're going to share as well. So they really are helpful if you're able to leave them. This one made me smile, so I wanted to share it with you. It has the title Superb Travel Podcast, and it says, "The moment I hear Luke's voice at the beginning of the podcast, it brightens my day and brings a smile to my face. I love the easygoing conversational style of both the interview episodes and the solo episode. Highly recommend. Love it. Thank you so much. And if you're able to leave a review, I would appreciate that so much." So, a question for you before we get started on today's episode. How many modes of transport can you name? You might have go boat, plane, bus, train, motorbike, bike, legs, maybe even skateboard. I don't know. But if you're going to or have been to Asia, the chances are you will also find yourself in a tuk-tuk. Now, during my travels, there has always seemed to be something really fun and interesting about these little three-wheeled vehicles. From the bleating noise they make as they cut through the traffic, to the way the drivers always seem to modify them with booming sound systems or big exhaust pipes, to the smell of the city as you go past. You just smell everything from the markets to the fumes of the other traffic to what's cooking in the restaurants. It's fantastic. And in my experience, they're much as part of the destination that we're talking about today, Thailand, as the food, the temples and the beaches. So in the podcast today, I'm talking with Bruce Haxton, who's the man behind a company called the Tuk Tuk Club. The Tuk Tuk Club run 10-day trips through the largely uncharted and undiscovered beautiful highlands of northern Thailand. I've never been, but after this conversation, it's certainly part of my list. Bruce talks about how he came up with the idea for the off-the-beaten-track adventure, how his trips support local communities, including a herd of elephants, and what's involved in this totally unique experience. You're going to want to hear this. Stick around and let's listen in. Have you read my international thriller novels? Set in exciting destinations all over the world, they follow the pursuits of a pair of detectives called Leo and Alyssa. Sent to investigate mysteries, missing people or murders, Leo and Alyssa must navigate the back streets of Kathmandu, the building sites of Hong Kong or the techno nightclubs of Berlin. Search Amazon for Luke Richardson to give them a try today. Bruce, welcome to the Travel Now podcast. It's so nice to be able to have this conversation with you. How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm really well, Luke. Nice to meet you too.
Good, good. And you're on the line from Chiang Mai.
I am just on the outskirts of Chiang Mai, halfway sort of between the city and the mountains to the southwest of the city.
Oh, yeah. What a beautiful part of Thailand to be from. And it's the evening there for you, I assume. as we talk.
It is. It's mid-evening, but yeah, you're right. We're very, very privileged to spend our lives here. Yeah.
So I'm really sort of drawn to your travel experiences that you sort of offer for several reasons. Firstly, I love travel that takes people off the beaten track. And it seems to me that that is sort of somewhere that you're sort of laying your banner down and saying, this is what we do, you know. And secondly, it involves Thailand, which has been one of my favorite destinations. Sort of, I can talk about Thailand for ages, you know, one of my favorite travel destinations. So talk me through sort of what the Tuk Tuk Club is, what you do, what your experiences involve.
Well, I mean, this is where you might need to stop me, Luca. People listening to this, they might wake up and it's 4 days later, because I could go on and on about this. But I think in some ways, the Tuk Tuk Club was born out of a desire to put the adventure back into adventure travel. There are lots of great, I mean, Thailand, as you said, is an amazing country. But a lot of travel in the country only scratches the surface of what there is for people to experience and do and enjoy and see here. And after working in the industry for a long time, and I've been living and doing business in Thailand for a very long time, I really wanted to help people just get under the skin of the country a little more, get off the beaten track, for want of that, you know, that hackneyed phrase, but there's no other better way to say it, is there? This might sound strange, but I first came here, 34 years ago. That makes me feel really old. And there was something about Thailand that really got into my soul. And I love modern Thailand. You know, Bangkok's become an amazing city. But I wanted to sort of help people experience the authenticity of what I was lucky enough to come across the best part of 35 years ago, when, you know, when a lot of the islands in the south still didn't have any electricity. When there are certain areas that now have what turned themselves six-star hotels, which are beautiful hotels. But I remember staying there where there was no electricity and just a well to wash in. You know, as a middle-aged chap, perhaps I would probably prefer a room with running water these days. But there was something about that experience that really got into my spirit. And what we're doing at the Tuk Tuk Club is not taking people so they have to wash in a well and there's nowhere to sleep. But to try and get into that sort of atmosphere where there are very few other travellers, tourists, it's all the same, you know, visitors, shall we say, and where people are living there. The reception you get is a very, very honest and straightforward reception. And I think that's always what one looks for when you go to a new country. You don't want to be treated as a celebrity. And you don't want to be treated as a nuisance. You just want to see how people really are. And that's something that really drives us. And I'll add on to the top of that, the scenery in northern Thailand is breathtaking. I sort of think if you come to northern Thailand and you go, meh, perhaps it's time to stop traveling. it's a mind-blowing place. The people are fantastic. There's a huge mix of cultures up in the mountains. You know, we head up over mountains, through valleys, along plains, and it's never boring. There's always something to see and to soak up, the sights, the smells, the sounds, and there's always something weird and wonderful that jumps out at you on every single trip. That's what we're trying to do. We're very lucky to be able to do what we do, and the reason we exist is to try and help people who share that dream of seeing something a bit different and doing it differently, to give people that opportunity to join us and, you know, head into the mountains on three-wheeled adventures. Now, I must say, that sounds like it's all very freeform and unplanned. You know, we are professionals at what we do.
Talk me through one of your trips then. You've got, I'm excited. I turn up in Chiang Mai. I've booked on a trip with you, say that they're 10, 11 days, aren't they, for one of the longer ones. Where would we go and what would we do?
Well, on an 11-day trip, which is, and we run quite a few different trips, but if you talk to my team, everybody says their favourite trip is the 11-day trip. And the reason being is that it's a real journey and it's like a massive loop. So we start off in a place called Mewang, which is about an hour southwest of Chiang Mai. That's our base. It's where, if you're doing a self-drive trip, it's where we do the training for you to train you to drive our tuk-tuks. And if you're doing the chauffeur-driven version, we explore there for a couple of days. We're in the foothills of Doi Intanon, which is Thailand's highest mountain. We visit remote hillside temples where we go and get a blessing for the adventure ahead. We think it's very much part of Thai culture. It's a nice thing to do. It also helps us make donations to the temple, which is very much part of Thai life. We go and visit a small family of elephants who I've known those elephants for over 10 years now. It's a lovely, small place, very private. It gives people an opportunity to meet and learn about elephants, which are a big part of northern Thailand. We do some bamboo rafting. We visit waterfalls in forests. And we go out for some amazing food. We then head deep into the hills. We head on the back roads. You're talking switchback bends and going up 1,000 meters in 10 kilometers. So it's pretty cool, steep roads. We head through Karen Hill Tribe villages. And then we stay for a couple of nights in a village that's sort of two-thirds of the way up Thailand's highest mountain. It's a Karen Hill Tribe village. So that's a distinct ethnic minority that live here in Thailand. I mean, their land effectively straddles Thailand and Myanmar anyway. We stay there for a couple of days. We do a hike through the forest. It's not Bear Grylls. You don't need to bring like a machete in. But we do that. There's stunning waterfalls. We take a local guide from the community with us who teaches us all how they've used the plants and the trees over the years for curing all sorts of manners of ailments. We have brilliant mountain food. And then we head off again. The roads are the next day, day five, we do about 160 kilometers, which doesn't sound much. You live in Nottingham, don't you? Driving down to Brighton, what's that? 200 miles. You'll do it in three and a half hours, 4 hours or something. 160K in the tuk-tuks, we take all day over it because we stop lots and we're on tiny winding roads. So we wind down the side of Doi Intanon, and then we head through crikey roads where in an hour we might pass four vehicles. It's just really quiet and remote. We stop for little mountain coffees and food, and eventually we end up in a really beautiful small town called Mesalieng, which is effectively the last town before the Burmese border, the border with Myanmar in that part of Thailand. Very, very cool town. One of those places where the people are very, very friendly, but they don't mind if tourism is there or not. So it's not a tourist town. And I always think that's great, so that you get treated very naturally. Nobody's being obsequious because they desperately want tourism there. And at the same time, nobody's being standoffish. It's just a lovely place. We stay there a night. We stay in a cool hotel by the river. It's got a swimming pool. Our adventures are, I'm a big believer that you can have an adventurous time, but it doesn't mean you have to sleep somewhere really crappy. If there's somewhere nice to stay, why not stay somewhere nice? Then we head due north up the road to, we're already in Ma Hong Son province, but we head to a place just outside the main town, which is the hidden highlight of northern Thailand. There's a small resort, about 7 kilometers outside the town. And it's just magical. It's a series of bungalows dotted around rice terraces on the edge of a national park, so surrounded by forest, a stream running down the side. 4 years, we used to say it had the best sunset bar in the world, right? And it's now the best sunset bar in the universe, because just in front of the sunset bar, 3 years ago, they put a small infinity pool in. So you can stand in the infinity pool overlooking the rice terraces as the sun goes down between the mountains. It's just amazing. And the people who run it, the staff, they're all local people, which is very important to us. And they are some of the nicest people you'll meet in the world. It's like staying with a group of friends. They're very professional. That resort is run superbly, but the style, the way it's done, is just so beautiful and laid back. So we stay there a couple of nights. We have a free day where there's a really cool hike from that resort, 9-10K. If you do it, you know you've done it. There's a lot of up and down. You can take river trips. We take our guys off on river boats down to explore quite remote villages. And then we're back on the road. We head a stunning stretch of road from between Mae Hong Son and Bai. And Bai's a really famous northern Thailand town. It's been on the sort of travel scene for a long time. But the route between the two is spectacular. You sort of, you go over one, two, three and a half mountain ranges, mountain passes. So you climb up and down, up and down. It's tiny villages. It's hill tribe communities. We take detours to go and see little extra secret things we don't put in the itinerary. We like to keep them back as little wow moments. You don't tell everybody everything straight away.
No, of course.
We stop off for lunch wherever we fancy it, really. We know all the best little roadside places. And then we stay just outside Bai for a couple of nights. We have we like to use places that got a swimming pool because you've had a good day's adventure. It's quite nice to dive in a pool and have a cold beer to sort of wash the adventure off for the day. We stay in Bai for a day. And then the last day's driving is really spectacular. We save the best till last. And we follow 180 plus kilometers of back roads between Bai and Mae Wan. Now, the road we use, or that there's three or four turnings, but it's only just when we launched did they seal the whole road. It used to be about 40K, but it used to be a dirt road, which we wouldn't have been able to use in the tuk-tuks, or at least not in the rainy season. Very, very fortunately, they sealed the road just before our first trips back in 2017. I like to think the local government knew what we were doing and did that for sure. And it's just unbelievable. We go through remote hot springs. We go through little market towns, hill tribe market towns with ancient temples built out of teak. We go through communities where no Thai spoken. It's all the different hill tribe ethnic languages. We go up over mountains. We go over mountain passes. We go along valley floors. We've got steep switchbacks. It's just, I mean, how many times have I done that route? Too many times to mention. You will not see me on that road without a big smile on my face ever. It's hard to describe.
It sounds fantastic. Yeah, it sounds like such a great journey. You mentioned at the start there the difference between being a chauffeur-driven person on the tour and driving yourself, essentially. I'm assuming that even whether you do either of those, you're with a group of people led by someone who's done the trip before. It's all sort of led by a group, by a guide, isn't it?
Absolutely everything we do is we have one of our team who leads everything. So the lead tuk-tuk is always driven by one of my guides. So all of our drivers are not just drivers, they're also some of the best tour guides in the country. And they all work full-time for us. Because it's really important to us that, A, the team that work for us can plan and can build their lives. They've got a good income. But secondly, it's so that we put a lot of effort into building our team. And my team will not let us hire somebody that they don't agree with. You know, we're very... Gosh, I'm trying to think of a word that doesn't sound a bit rude. We're obsessed with the quality of our team, shall I say. So everything is led by one of our guides, and there's always, then we have support team with us who are other guides who are acting as support. If it's a self-drive trip, if everybody's doing self-drive, we have a guide at the front, and then we have one of the team at the back bringing up the rear so that we have this convoy of tuk-tuks that we sandwich together. And if it's for every chauffeur person, for every two people in the chauffeur trip, we have another driver, but our drivers are all part of our guide team.
Yeah,
so,
I see.
You know, we if anything, yeah, we have, crikey, we put a lot of staff effort into it because we want people to have that extra service. We believe that the team add a whole load to the journey. And also, we don't want you getting lost either.
Yeah, that's it.
If we set you off, who knows where you'll end up. But by doing it that way, we can, number one, we can keep everybody safe, which is a really important thing. I don't mean safe in terms of the area we travel through. If you drop your wallet full of money, that will come back to you, you know, without a doubt. But I mean, we choose our roads specifically to be not only beautiful but very quiet. But you know, we want to make sure that we do everything we can to minimise any potential hazards. So the fact we sandwich the convoy between one of my team driving and bringing up the rear, that adds that extra level of security and safety to everything. I should say, Luke, as well, that the maximum speed we travel is 50 kilometers an hour. So I think Usain Bolt can probably run that fast. I'm not sure. But it's not a top gear, how fast land speed record thing. This is all about enjoying where we're going, not whizzing past. It's about soaking up every second of every minute of every day. When we're going uphill, we might be pottering up at 20 kilometers an hour because some of those hills are steep. We take everything nice and easy. And I should say that our tuk-tuks were specially built for the job in hand. So they are Bangkok style. So they have that really iconic shape. But we have them built specially down in Bangkok. And they're about 9 inches longer, which means you've got really good leg room in the back. And they're taller as well, so that you don't have to duck down to see. You know, you can sit in the back and you can see everything. They're also convertibles. So we always joke with our travellers, the only people who ever open the roof up are Brits. And I can say this to and that's because Brits, you know, we only see the sun about four times a year, don't we? So we go a bit mad when we see the sun. But they are convertible tuk-tuks as well, which is a bit of fun. And they've got bigger engines. So that means they can get up all the hills we go over, no problems at all.
That's fantastic. I can picture it now. I can imagine it now. What sort of, I mean, do I need any driving experience to be able to drive one of them? I mean, if I was, and is there sort of an age limit on your tour with that in mind? Or an age, not limit necessarily, an age requirement?
I mean, firstly, you have to have a driving license from your own country.
Yeah.
And secondly, you need to bring an international driving permit as well if you're going to drive. Which are really easy to get. An IDP, you get them in the UK, you get them in the post office on the day, you take your driving license and the passport photo, and it's £5.50 or something. They're not hard to drive. The reason I say that is I learned to drive on a four-lane highway on the outskirts of Bangkok. And if I can learn to drive a tuk-tuk there, then you know they can't be that hard. We do all the training off-road. So I don't mean on like a dirt track. We have an area that is all concreted where we do our driver training and we have a whole routine. We start people as if they really have never driven a vehicle before. You know, you go forwards 5 yards and backwards 5 yards. And sometimes you can feel people going, crikey, I know how to do this, but we'll never rush it. We have to go through every step. I should also say that we're nearly finished converting our tuk-tuks to being automatics. And the reason we did that is because we get quite a few travellers from North America. Most North Americans, yes, lots of North Americans can drive manuals. But as a matter of course, it seems that most drive automatics. It's also much easier. And it means that whoever's driving can also enjoy the views and the scenery as well, rather than worrying about their next gear change. So that makes it even easier. You know, they're not hard to drive. It just takes a bit of getting used to where your position on the road is and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah. Oh, it sounds absolutely fascinating. Yeah. I don't know. I'd be up for a long drive in one of them, but perhaps giving it a go around the car park would be more my sort of style. I like the idea of sitting back and being able to see what's around me, maybe more so than...
So we also have cool boxes in every tuk-tuk. So for the people who are sitting in the back, it's not unknown for them to stock up on a couple of beers. and we fill up the ice boxes with ice every day. And, you know, you're dropping down a big mountain descent to the village you're staying in that night, having a couple of cold cans of beer. Life's quite good.
That sounds amazing. You're selling it to me straight away. And I'm sure other people listening to this thinking, yeah, listen to it in the rain in England or wherever they might be, you know, thinking that sounds absolutely ideal. This seems like, though, it sounds like if you said it without having done it, a little bit of a crazy idea. Do you know what I mean? It seems just fantastic and a little bit out there. How did you come up with that as a concept?
I wish I knew, because then I could keep having these crazy ideas. I've got to be honest, like, so the business I was running before, I used to go to all over the world on different on business, and I was in southern India with our business partner there, and we were in a restaurant in Fort Kochi, and there's a really cool organisation that does sort of similar but very different trips called the Ritual Run, And that restaurant is where they use, I think, for some of the starts of their tours. And the owner of the restaurant was chatting, and we had a really good night. And I thought, that sounds really interesting. I really like what they do. It's not the way I would. It's not. They're brilliant, but different. And I thought, I wonder if I could use some of my background in the travel industry to do something similar but different, sort of a bit more of a full service trip. But it took probably a couple of years for me to get around to actually doing anything. You know how you have these ideas and then life takes over and you're busy. And then I've known a tuk-tuk driver in Bangkok for many years, a Thai friend of mine, and we did a deal with him to borrow his tuk-tuk for a month. And I drove all over. We drove all over the mountains, and we enjoyed it so much that we thought, well, surely if we enjoy it, then surely other people would do. And that doesn't sound like a very strategic way to form a business.
Sounds perfect.
But, I've worked in the travel industry a long time, and I just got this feeling that there were enough people out there who want to do something a little bit different. And fortunately, so far, there has been.
Yeah, I think you're right, and I think particularly when it comes to Thailand, because there's a sort of groove cut through Thailand, isn't there, of places that people go. They fly into Bangkok, they head to either to Koh Tao or to Koh Phangan or over to Krabi or wherever, And for every sort of person I talk about Thailand with, most of them have headed south. Not so many of them have explored that sort of northern region, myself included, really. I've been to Chiang Mai, but not gone any further north than that. And I think that's a shame from what you've said.
I agree with you, Luke. I mean, one of the biggest shames for Thailand is that, the norm is two or three nights in Bangkok. If you're lucky, two nights in Chiang Mai and then seven or eight nights down in the south. And I think the north has been overlooked terribly. The beaches and the islands are fantastic, but there are beaches and islands all over the world that are equally cool. Northern Thailand's got something very special to it. And when we launch what we do, we launch with our 11-day trip back in 2017. Lots of people I know in the industry said, you're absolutely bonkers because nobody goes to the north of Thailand for 10 nights. And I said, well, my view was that's because nobody offers people the opportunity to go to Northern Thailand for 10 nights. And what we're finding is that the people who travel with us can't believe that they'd never spent that amount of time in the north before. People who've been to Thailand many, many times travel with us, and they're like, wow, next time we're just going to the north, because it's been such a unique experience for them. So something about what we're trying to do, actually, we're trying to put the adventure back into adventure travel, but we're also on a bit of a mission to promote the north of Thailand. So if somebody contacts me and is interested in what we do, but end up not traveling with us, as long as they come to the north of Thailand, then I'm happy. Because if you spend your holidays in the north of this country, I guarantee you're going to have an amazing experience. It really doesn't matter where you go. There's so many unique experiences. The countryside's amazing. The food is awesome. And the people are lovely. Sorry, I'm on my Northern Thailand hobby horse. But it really is just a wonderful part of the world.
No, I'm there with you. Tell me about the food then. Like I've experienced Thai food in the south, and I mean I've had the Massaman curry, isn't it? Is the Chiang Mai speciality? Yeah. Am I right? Is it the Massaman curry?
I think the most famous for most visitors to Chiang Mai, sort of, if they look for one dish, they look for khao soi, which is the crispy noodles. There's crispy noodles on top, and it's usually with chicken, but you can have it with any meat actually. And it's like a relatively mildish, really aromatic curry with noodles. Absolutely beautiful. But I'm not a culinary expert. I'm very good at eating. Put a plate of something in front of me, I tend to demolish it and ask for more. But what's really cool here is you get a really good mix of different cuisines as you head further north, because you've got Burmese influence. Because on our longer trips, we're very close to the border, and Now, a lot of the border is quite porous, but the poorest people ignore the sort of border posts. They just cross on the trails where they want to. So you've got a great mix of cuisines. And I think the other advantage is that where we head, the food tends to be as it always was meant to be. So Thailand's been very smart. And in many tourist resorts, a lot of the food will be slightly amended to appeal to what Thailand thinks is the foreign palate, which is pretty cool, actually. That's pretty clever. But up here, the food is just what the food is. And I think that's a really nice experience, whether it's, whether it's raw buffalo larp, which is an acquired taste, or, whether it's some sort of innards in a soup. There's just the real deal food. And I must say, don't worry. If you're not keen on having raw buffalo larp, there is lots of sort of less esoteric food to eat. But it is a big part of things. Our trips also are, what did my guides tell me last week? They said, what we do with our travellers, Bruce, is on day one, we start at elementary school Thai food. And by the last day, we're PhD level Thai food. And I quite like that idea. It's quite nice.
Yeah, I can understand that. I think that's fantastic. What is a trip away without eating something strange and interesting? I think, whatever that might be, relative to your tastes.
Yeah, I mean, and there's nothing wrong every now and then with fancying something that reminds you of home. Like, we're not didactic on our food. We love helping people explore food. But if somebody just fancies something nice and simple from Europe, we'll go out of our way to try and find that. But my guides get really excited when they have adventurous eaters with them.
Yeah, and I can imagine you have a fair number of those, considering the sort of types of trip that it is.
We do.
Oh, Bruce, this has been absolutely fantastic. Tell us where we can find you and your trips, and where we can find more information and perhaps even go ahead and book one if that's something we're interested in.
Well, I mean, the first port of call would be to have a look at our website, which is thetuktukclub.com. There's loads of information on all our trips. There's links to videos and there's a lot of images. And then if you want to find out anything more, there's the contact us page there. And trust us, we are happy to talk for as long as anybody wants to about our trips. It's what we do. It's what makes us happy. It's what gets us out of bed in the morning. We've got a YouTube channel, thetuktukclub.com. Lots of authentic traveler-generated videos on there. And then also, if you look us up on TripAdvisor, you can see what travelers have been saying. I always think that's quite a nice thing to do. I was going to say, we can't change what's put up there. We can, because it's how hard we work and how hard my team work. But it gives you a sense of the sort of people that travel with us and how much fun they have. We'd love to hear from anybody, even if it's just to talk about Thailand. It really doesn't matter. Our mission is to make sure people have a good time when they come in.
Bruce, that's fantastic. Thank you so much.
Absolute pleasure.
So that's another trip I'm going to have to organise. Absolutely. Absolutely love it. I love talking to people that are passionate about travel, as you well know. And that just came across, didn't it, in the things that Bruce was saying. He's so dedicated to showing people like me and you the authentic side of Thailand. And I think you can sort of be mistaken in thinking that Thailand is a place that has been travelled left to right, up and down. No stone is left unturned. But then he mentions these places that I've never heard of before. These really interesting mountain tours and mountain villages and hotels with the fantastic sunsets, and I absolutely love that idea. I love the idea that the tours Bruce talks about makes adventure as well very accessible. You don't need to do a lot of research, you don't need to do a lot of preparation, that is all taken care for you, and you can still live in some kind of comfort should that be something that's important to you. I really enjoyed how he mentioned that his trips support local communities, the families of the guides he uses, and that herd of elephants that they meet along the way. That's really important. And that, as I said at the start, is definitely something that I now want to do. And when I do, I will bring you a podcast from the road, guaranteed. So should you want to know more about the Tuk Tuk Club, you can find that out at tuktukclub.com, thetuktukclub.com, or on Instagram at tuktukclub. Thailand. So I would love to have your voice on the Travel Now podcast. You don't need to have a large social media following, travel full time, or even have done the trip that recently. Reach out and let's have a conversation if you've got an interesting travel story to tell. Hello@lukerichardsonauthor.com. And if you've enjoyed this podcast, I would massively appreciate your rating, reviewing, or sharing it. That helps other people come on these interesting journeys with us. Right, thank you so much for listening to the Travel Now podcast. You can connect with me on the email address I just gave you, hello@lukerichardsonauthor.com, or on Instagram at lukericha, L-U-K-E-R-I-C-H-A-A. And for information about my writing and travels, take a look at my website, lukerichardsonauthor.com. If you love travel, I would love to share my stories with you. Set all over the world in the interesting places I visit, they're designed to transport you to the back streets of Kathmandu, the glitzy towers of Hong Kong, or the techno nightclubs of Berlin. Check me out by searching for Luke Richardson on Amazon. Thanks again, and I'll see you soon for the next episode of the Travel Now podcast. Safe travels.